That pulpit's really heavy, so I need help with it. Praise God. So you guys good today?
Yes.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day, amen. I usually would start with a funny Mother's Day story, but my mom's in California, and so I'll have to save the story for next year. So you have to stick around. It's a really funny story about how I got caught by my mother skipping school when I was 14 years old. I was playing basketball instead, and when I got to the school halfway through the day, I walked into the school and into the office and said hello, and the secretary of the school said, "We have your mom on hold." Oh, yeah. That was my mom was really, she was kind of up in my business a little bit. So some of you guys, you think you got it bad, you have no idea. So anyway, I'll tell you the rest of that story next year. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, this group of people that is gathered together today to hear what it is that you would say from heaven. I believe, Father, you have spoken to me what we need, Lord God, for this season, the rhema word for today. So help us, Lord God, to hear it with ears to hear, Lord God, and to apply it, to put it into our lives, Lord God, that it would change our lives, to bring you glory, to increase the kingdom, Lord God, and bring peace to our house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 25, if you will. I just threw a curveball on you. I know we've been in a series for a very long time. We've been in chapters. What chapters? Who can tell me?
16
and 17. Yeah. So this week I want you to read ahead. Okay. Keep reading. After 17 comes 18, 19, 20, so on and so forth, all the way up through 30. And then there's 2 Samuel and you start reading that. Amen. So we'll get back to that series either next week or on the Wednesday nights, because I've got much more to say about that. But as I was reading this, here's what I do is I just read the Bible, and whatever jumps out at me. And so I was reading one day, and I love to read about David. I don't know if you guys have picked up that theme here in this church, but I'm just very much connected to David's story, and I'm really looking forward to meeting David someday. That's going to be kind of a cool moment for me. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Like, yo, David. So, I mean, you really do have red hair. Okay. But I like to, from time to time, read the stories of David over and over and over, and they're very encouraging to me, and I learn a lot there. And so as I was just reading ahead in 1 Samuel 25, Then the Lord spoke to me. I read the story about a woman by the name of Abigail. Abigail. Everyone say Abigail.
Abigail.
Yeah. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. That's one of the ways I know like God just like stopped on something, because I read that chapter, then I went on and I was reading other chapters. But as I was reading the other chapters, I was still kind of mentally thinking about Abigail's story. So I went back and I read it again, and then I prepared my whole sermon on Thursday. I worked a couple hours on it. I have a great sermon on prudent speech, okay? And I sent it all to Andrew. Andrew's our media guy back there, so I sent it to him on Thursday, which is early for me, okay? And I felt so good because I entered the weekend having the word all done and ready, and I don't have to think about it. I'm just going to come in on Sunday and I'm going to preach. But then I could not stop thinking about this chapter, and it just was raining to me, and I was reading it again, and I just realized this is what the Lord wanted for this day, for this time. Are you with me? Okay. So hopefully you bring your Bibles. Let me see your Bibles. Don't show me phones. I want to see Bibles. Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I called you out with the phone. See me after class. Yeah. Listen, I love this Bible. She's always, like, I'm not even in that chapter, but you got it highlighted. And she's got this cool, she's got all this stuff highlighted and tabs. And then she colors, she's got, like, this one of these cool Bibles that you can color it. And anyway, it's kind of neat.
Thank you.
Isn't that cool? Praise God. You can't do that with a phone. Well, you probably can. It's not the same when you color. When you actually color with pencils and all that, it does good stuff in your brain. When you just highlight. All right, let me see. Okay, not to be on. I stand corrected. Praise God. Amen. We're going to start in verse 2, 1 Samuel 25, verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. I'm going to read for quite a bit so you follow with me. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He's very rich. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Carmel, I think. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. That's a great testimony from the Holy Spirit that she was an understanding woman and she was also very beautiful. But the man was the antithesis of this. He was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb, which means that he should have known better, praise God. Sometimes we should know better because we come from a place where your mom and dad taught you the right way, and the mistakes you are making are not because of the house you came from, but because of your own personal decisions. Can you say amen? When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shears. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. So ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hands to your servants and to your son David." Now, we are going to read more, but just so that you understand. Okay, I'm sorry, but you have to be the Nabal. Okay, so stand up here. Okay, and you could be Abigail. Okay, so we have Nabal and Abigail. Nabal literally means foolish, no offense. Okay, that's what his parents named him, foolish or a fool. Okay. And then Abigail actually means the joy of her father. So there's quite a difference here. And so they're a couple. So she's a woman of great understanding, and she's a woman of beautiful woman of joy. And then this guy Nabal is not a good guy. He's a harsh guy. He has a terrible reputation for being a fool. And actually, as you study the scriptures closely, no offense, it's not, you know, that's not him. He's just playing a part. He's acting, okay? Nabal had a reputation for being somebody that would fly off the handle, like you couldn't talk to him. And he was kind of a hothead, you know, and so anytime somebody tried to speak to him, he would just freak out on them, so that makes people avoid them, right? Okay, now there's David. You be David for me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. David. Right. Because you're the red shirt, red hair. Okay. David. So then there was David. Now David and his 600 men at this particular time and their families and all the rest, remember, all that came to him were in debt, in duress, and discontented. We've studied that, right? So his 600 men and all the wives, the families, and all that, they were camped on the outskirts of this guy's property, which was quite vast, all right? He was a very, very rich man. Thousands of animals. You could just imagine how much pasture it takes to take care of thousands of animals. Very, very rich man. And on the outskirts, okay, of his land, David was camped. So let's go further out over here, okay? So, and David had some mighty men around him. Get him up here. Joe, come on up here. Noah, come on up here. He had some mighty men. Johnny, why don't you come up here? You're kind of mighty men. Yeah. And the mightiest of all. Okay, so David had his mighty men, and here's what happened. The Philistines, okay, would often come into the land, and they would kill the sheep and steal the animals and kill the shepherds and plunder and all the rest. But because David and his men had been camped in that area, they protected the shepherds, they protected the sheep, they protected this guy's investment. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, and so they're good guys. Now listen. This is not the easiest thing done, since all these guys were in debt, discontented, and stressed, and now they're out there in the wilderness, and all they have to do is grab any old sheep that they want. You know, you understand, these guys were rugged guys. They were kind of hard men. They'd gone to the school of hard knocks, you know, and David had to keep them in line. Hello? David had to keep them in line. David had to be a good leader over them, and he had to communicate to them the vision of that we are not going to take advantage of this guy's situation, but we will sow well and we will reap well. You understand? We'll take care of him and then he'll take care of us. So the day came, okay, when they were shearing the sheep, which means a day of prosperity. They threw a great big feast. Okay, they invited all their servants. There's hundreds of servants. You understand? It's kind of like a feudalism type of economic system where you have the landowner and you have all the servants that make their living on the land and they also serve the guy. It's not like that they're slaves, you understand? But nonetheless, they get their living from you know, connecting to this landowner. You with me? Okay, going really fast. So this day of prosperity, this day of feasting, they would do the shears, and they had enough food, and they're going to feed all these people and all the rest. So David recognizes that, you know, he's treated this guy kindly. We covered that, right? So, you know, his men now who have restrained themselves and all the rest, and they have protected the shepherds, protected the sheep. So he goes ahead and he sends one of his guys, a couple of his guys, come here, Joel. He sends a couple of his guys. Don't overact now, okay? he sends a couple of his guys to talk to him, and they come and they say, hey, listen, you know, Nabal, David has sent us. And when we were out in the wilderness, we took care of the sheep. We were really kind, and you know, the guys are hungry, and we would like, since you're having a feast, if we could join you. And David actually humbles himself and calls this guy his father. He says, "Your servant, your son David, you're like a father to me, a father." As we covered this, he doesn't give a scorpion or a snake. He gives good things. So he comes in humility. Now listen, David has a reputation in the land. You understand? He has a reputation of being the one that has slain the thousands of the Philistines. He killed Goliath. He killed the bear. He killed the lion. And what's more, he was anointed with the Spirit of God by the prophet Samuel, and it was prophesied over him that he would be the next king. So, and yet he humbles himself, sends his servants, and just said, hey, listen, we would like to join you with a feast. Would you take care of us? Okay, can you? Okay, yeah, you guys stay right here. So Nabal, instead of saying, yeah, come on, join us. We really appreciate all that you did. He actually mocks David, mocks these men, and is very cruel to him, which is true of his nature, which is a very foolish thing. No offense. And he sends these guys back. So the moment that they hear this report, instead of arguing with him, they turn around and they go back to David. Okay, come on back to David. Now we're going to read all this, but unless you kind of have a visual, it's hard for you to understand when you just read it. Okay. So as soon as David gets the report, watch this. As soon as they come back and they tell David that, he says no and he mocked you and all the rest, David says, pull out your swords. We're going to kill them all the young men. We're going to go kill every man in the whole house. He's very upset. So they pull out their swords. They got 200 guys that are going to stay behind and watch the supplies. And 400 of them start to make the journey back to Nabal's house, who has no idea that this is coming his way, that he has awoken up this response from David. Okay, amen. Thank you guys all. You guys can sit down. Thank you guys. Good job. All right, you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. That helps us see it acted out. Some. I could tell when I was reading it that you guys were already lost. Okay. So I just want to go back, okay? Verse 2, now there was a man in Man whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel, and the name of the man was Nabal, or foolish, and the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. He should have known better. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. At 10's the number of testing, and David said to the young man, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, meaning go say to this rich guy, peace be to you, peace to your house, peace to all that you have. That's a pretty good thing, you know, peace three times, right? Now I've heard you have shears, your shepherds were with us, we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from all them while they're in the Carmel. Remember I told you, that was a task for David, to have to make sure everybody understands we're not going to take advantage of this situation, even though we're hungry, we're in the wilderness, we're going to actually protect this guy. Are you with me?
Amen.
Are you with me? Okay, all right. Ask your young men and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes. It wasn't even for David himself. He wanted to take care of his men. For we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand and your servants to your son David. See the humility? So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and they waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Now, did David break away from his master Saul because he wanted to start his own thing?
No.
He was forced out. Everybody knows that. Or, you know, Saul, it's interesting. We've been studying about envy and how David's brother was envious of David. Okay. Saul took that to a whole nother level. He had meditated so much on his envy and his jealousy towards David that one simple thing set him off forever. And that was when he heard the women singing songs about Saul and David. They had come back from a great victory, and the women came out, and they were all singing, Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And right in the scripture it said, and then when Saul heard the song bothered him. And he said to his the guys around him, I don't like that they're saying that David's killed more people than me and all the rest. This is just so ridiculous, you understand? Yeah. There's always going to be somebody that's better at something than you. And, you know, I mean, if Pastor Dave here, if someday, you know, he kills more people than me, you know, and you know, Pastor Rob has killed his thousands, but Pastor Dave has killed his 10,000s, you know, I'll just rejoice that, you know, that he, you understand? Come on, that's funny. Stop getting all religious on me. We're not going to really kill people, okay? It's metaphorical. It's figurative. You understand? You with me? Okay, we're not going to really kill people. Yeah, but the thing is you rejoice when other people have victories and when other people, you know, and if you love somebody and you're and they're coming up underneath you as David was coming up underneath Saul, if you find that God's taking him to the next level, then you don't let that get you insecure. You're all excited about that. Amen. You're happy that, you know, that he's been trained up well and going forward. I mean, if Saul was not such an insecure person when he heard that song, he could have just said, isn't that funny that, you know, they're singing that song about David and me? That's so cute, you know. But instead, that thing set him off. And from that moment, he began to pursue David, throw spears at him and all the rest. And, you know, and David had to run. You got to read in the scriptures and running in the caves and the hills. And, you know, and all the time when he was running, you guys need to know this, okay? And his men were with him and they'd come to him and they were moving around. David would often seek the Lord about coming and helping the Israelites that had come under the yoke of the Philistines. Are you with me? So often David would find out the Philistines had come and they'd attacked the land. So David would say to the Lord, do you want me to go help them? And the Lord would say, yes, go help them. And so David would come into the land where the Philistines had taken over, defeat the Philistines, restore the people, and then take a breath. And no sooner had he taken a breath that the very people that he just delivered snuck out of town and went and told Saul, hey, guess what? David is in our town trying to procure favor with the king after David had just delivered them. You know, you understand? His own people betrayed him over and over and over and over again. Okay? Now, what happened was, is he had been able to handle this for a certain season, but you ever heard of like the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back? Okay, well, in this particular time, David has had enough. He continues to act in such integrity and character that he's out here, you know, on the because of Saul chasing him, because of all the other people that he's delivered that have tattled on him, and now he finds himself on the edge of this wilderness and here where he could have just said, you know what, this guy doesn't have a great reputation. I'm going to just go ahead and eat as many sheep as I want. Instead, he goes to all the guys and says, listen, we're going to honor this man. You know, this is what you do. You have to walk in integrity and all the rest. And then when they ask for some food and the guy's like, no, who is David? You know, who's the son of Jesse? I can't just give any rogue any food, anything. You know, not only does he say, listen, he could have come back and said, I'm afraid of Saul. I don't know, you know, but instead he insults David. And David at this moment has had enough and he gets in the flesh. I know none of you can relate with that, but I can. I just want to let that sink in for a minute. Come on, Holy Spirit, make that personal. You know, right? Yeah, Rachel, you just have that moment where you're that, what do we go? That's it. Right? No more. That's the last straw. You know, I was like, What were the first 10? So we see this in the scriptures. Interesting, this is in the scriptures. Do you know why it's in the scriptures? It's written down, the Bible says, for us. That's for us. You know, Brian and I, we get together and we like to go to Burger Station. Yeah, that's our place. So now when he goes to Burger Station, they take pictures of their food and send it to me and like, wish you were here. But they're actually mocking me. Because they know that I wish I was there. Yeah. They're like, don't you wish you were here? If you were here, I'd buy you a burger. But you're not here, so we'll just have to eat it. So, but you know, we go, we sit, we have a burger, and this is stuff we talk about. Because it's written down for us. Amen. You understand? So if it wasn't in there, then you don't have to worry about it. But if it's in there, that means there's something for you, there's something for me to be able to glean from this experience. So you know what I love about the scriptures? They don't just reveal all the good things that people did. They reveal the weaknesses of people also. And David, the man after God's own, listen, the man after God's own heart, right? What does the scripture say is that the Lord is long-suffering and not willing that any perish, but wishing that all would come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Here's the man after God's own heart. As soon as he hears the report, he goes, get out your swords, boys. Not only are we going to take him out, we're going to kill every male in the whole house. The little ones, the old ones, the medium-sized ones. We're taking them all out. Let's ride, you know? And the guys were like, yeah, you know? They were so quick to follow David, and off they went. So David had a response that was in the flesh, but if you study the scriptures leading up to this, you can understand how the events of the past had worked him to the point where now, instead of inquiring of the Lord, like he's done so many other times about what he should do in the situation, he began to react in his own strength. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I want to hit you with a couple scriptures real quickly. Just for the sake of time, I'm just going to show them to you on the screen. 1 Samuel 23:2 says, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. That is one of the places, by the way, that as soon as he delivered them, they snuck out and went and told Saul. It's just so sad. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 through 8. Then David said to Abithar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abithar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Okay. And he answered, pursue, you shall surely overtake them. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18 says, the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them? And the Lord said to David, go up, I will doubtless deliver you. Okay, so I showed you three. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses. I showed you three. There are actually nine examples within those two books, okay, of times that David got himself in a situation. And watch this. Instead of just reacting, first, everyone say first.
First.
Oh, please don't miss this. If you miss this, someday you're in heaven and you're like, why did my life go this way? And then God puts in the videotape, you know, and he's like, let me show you what you were doing during the moment that I was trying to tell you. The word that you needed to prevent the thing that you were thinking about doing.
Amen.
You understand? You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, nine times we see from the scriptures that David got himself in a situation. And first, before he just reacted, he inquired of the Lord. Now, sometimes we read the scriptures and it says, and David inquired of the Lord, and the next verse, and God said. And so we think that is that quick. But how many have found out that that's not always true?
Amen.
Sometimes there's a season.
Yeah.
Oh, pastor, don't, no. Don't, no, no, no. Do not use that word season. Of inquiring, right? Sometimes there's a continual inquiring because you're just like, God's not answering and you don't know what to do, so you just have to sit still. I've told you this before, there's something I like to talk about called prison theology. If you study the scriptures, you'll see that many, many, many of God's great men, he put them in prison for a season, in the natural. Just think of all those that were in prison. Come on, talk to me. Who are some of the guys that went to jail? Joseph. Paul, Peter, John the Baptist, Samson, okay, Jeremiah, come on. You start to study the totality of the scriptures and you realize that, you know, God's teaching you something here. And there's seasons that God put his great men in a place of confinement. See, we don't often like that word of confinement because we want answers immediately. And the society and the culture that we lived in has made it even worse for us. The amen goes right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're so busy that we can't shut off for 5 minutes. You know? And it's part of the reason, like, that's why we're like, okay, God, I got 2 minutes. What do I do? And he doesn't speak during those 2 minutes, you know? You're like, that's fine. I set aside time for you to talk to me, God, and you didn't talk to me, so I'm just doing my own thing. I'll just go my own way. I'm going to take my own path. You understand? Instead of just, you know, putting yourself in that prison and closing the door and saying, God, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to inquire of you until I hear what I'm supposed to do. Amen. And if that's a season, then you must be trying to teach me something during the season. Amen. Come on, how many of us know that this is how he talks to us, right? Amen. You know, and you're just inquiring of the Lord. And when you're inquiring of the Lord and it's something that's right before you, like David had at Ziklag, where his own men have stones in their hands and they're ready to kill him, and the Amalekites have taken off with the wives and the kids and they've burned everything to the ground, and he's called for the ephod, which is symbolic of the covering of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to seek God, and there's some pressure in that moment. Sometimes there's pressure that comes your way and you're seeking God, and you just have to wait till he speaks. So David had a consistent pattern, because he was a man of character, of inquiring of the Lord, what am I supposed to do? But this time, he's just, you know, the seasons and all the stuff that have happened to him have so piled up on him that he just is like, I can't take it anymore. Pull out your swords. And he immediately reacts in the flesh. Amen. Now, how many know that David was, it was prophesied over him that he was going to be the next king, right? And God's doing a work in him in the backside of the desert. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, and some of you need this scripture right now, one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible, it speaks of the grace and the mercy that God showed Joseph while he was in prison. Because in the movies, they showed, like, Joseph's all like, you know, yeah, now we're good, we're in prison, and you know, but come on, let's be honest. If you were Joseph and you were wrongfully accused, sold into slavery by your own brothers, you know, you get through all the mental anguish of that, you begin to prosper in Potiphar's house, you start to think, okay, you know, things are going, I gotta make lemonade, right? I'm gonna do what I gotta do, all the rest, and then the next thing you know, you're wrongfully accused of trying to rape the wife, and you're in the innermost prison. And you haven't done anything wrong. You're not just like, all right, God, this is great. It's all part of the plan. You are annoyed. You understand? Amen. And some of you, that's where you are right now. And you've been there in the past, or you'll be there in the future. And you're in that prison, and I don't deserve this. I don't understand. I don't know why this has happened to me. And you look to lash out. And here's the word that you need is that God will show you grace and mercy while you're in the prison. And the reason is because you need grace and you need mercy when you're in the prison. You understand? Because when you're in the prison, that's when your flesh begins to come out. You understand? You with me?
Yes.
Okay. So David now is having one of those moments. He's not in a literal prison, but my goodness, if you study what this man has been through up to this point, you know, his brother, if he could see everything that was going to go through, would have been like, man, I'm glad they anointed you instead of me, because I don't want to deal with all that junk. I mean, it was tough. You know, David learned to worship in the dark of the cave of Adullam with all these misfits that came. And that's the first thing that he taught them, is how to worship. It's just a beautiful story. The grace of God. And so I want you to see something. David is about to lose it, and he's about to do something that will forever follow him. It's a mistake that he's about to make. And that is to operate in his own flesh and take his hand, not just against Nabal, but all these other innocent people. The very shepherds that they guarded, he's like, kill them all. The kids, kill them all. Just that's it. I've had it. I'm going to take out all my frustration on this guy's servants. And God do so to me if there's not a male left alive. If there's a male left alive in that house. Get your swords, boys. Get your horses. We're riding. We're going to kill today. See, but here's what I want you to see. God has planted an Abigail who will intercede and will bring wisdom. What does the Bible say about her? She's introduced, she was a woman of understanding. You understand? And he has planted an Abigail. He has planted an intercessor. He has planted somebody with a voice that will come and speak sense to the flesh.
Amen.
You understand? Now, I want to say something, okay? It's David's choice whether he will heed that wisdom or not. Some people get themselves so worked up that even when somebody tries to speak wisdom to them, they discount that wisdom and they just keep going straight ahead. And God tried to stop them from making the decision that they had decided to make in their own flesh. And he tried to stop them, and he sent somebody humbly as Abigail comes. You study this. Abigail, she finds out that Nabal has denied David, one of the servants who was out there in the field, who loved David, loved his men, and was protected, came to her and in the night and said, listen, David sent men and just asked for a little food, and your husband completely mocked him. And, you know, this thing is not good. He even tells us more than David did. He said, when we were out in the field, they were a wall for us. They protected us. They took care of us. They were kind to us. And now your husband's going to repay kindness with evil. And so David, now they're coming. They're riding with their swords. I mean, you imagine. See, he's going to take out all his frustration of all the junk that he's dealt with Saul, his wife being given to another man, all the chasing around and all the tribes and how he delivered them, and they tattled on him and rejected him and betrayed him and everything, all those wounds and all the envy of his brother and all the junk and all the stuff that he's went through. He's had enough. And here he comes. And God sends this woman, Abigail, out in the night. First, she sends servants ahead with food. And then she comes to David, and she bows down before David. And she comes humbly, and she begins to prophesy. Verse 30. It shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord, meaning Jehovah, has dealt well with my Lord, meaning you, David, then remember your maidservant. Now, I don't have time to read this whole thing. I want you guys to read this whole thing. But basically, here's what she comes and says. She comes humbly and bows down to him and says, listen, don't forget the word of the Lord over your life. You listen to me. Please, everybody look at me. Please, don't forget. Don't forget the word of the Lord over your lives. You're in process. You understand? And when you're in process, you have these moments where you feel like you're going to lose it. But this voice comes to stir up and remind you of the process of the prophecies of that there's a plan that God's taken you through. And when you arrive, okay, and you're anointed king, you become the thing that God has said that you're going to be, and you've come through all this process that you've been going through, you don't want to look back on this time and realize that you have this stain where you blew it. And everybody knows. You with me? Because there's people here this is for, because I tried to go on. I had another message planned. Did I not? I was really good. It was on the prudent speech. You know, I had it all planned. I was ready. And the Lord would not let me go on from this message, because for this day, this hour, there are people here that need this. If not, they'll be in second service. Now, real quickly, number one, the Lord sent Abigail and he still uses people. You see that? The Lord sent Abigail, he still uses people. There are people that will come humbly and try to speak wisdom to you, but if you're like David, then you receive it. If you're like Nabal, you're a fool, then you won't receive any correction. She corrects him. She does it in love, but it's a correction. Watch this. It's a course correction. He's heading one way, and she is attempting to revert him to go in another way because she recognizes this is not the way that you want to go. This is not who you are. This is not who God's calling you to be. And when you do arrive at what God's called you to be, you will regret the decision that you're making right now if you continue to come this way. Amen. But she said it in love, and she said it in humility. Amen? Okay, listen. Make it personal. When it comes to, I just listed a few things. Money, how you handle money, the things that you purchase in a moment of time, the relationships that you get yourself into because you just don't want to wait until God opens up the door, be it business or marriage or any other type of thing. You know, I knew somebody years ago who was kind of semi-backslidden, had kind of one foot in with God, but kind of one foot in the world, and was lonely, and somebody had come into this person's life, and was like, you know, will you marry me? And so the person was telling me, you know, yeah, I'm going to get married, and I said, is the person a believer? You know, are they burning for Jesus? Well, no, but, you know, but I know that, you know, that it's going to be okay, and I said, listen, I said, I feel like that I need to give you this warning. I said it real humbly, but that the Bible is very clear about not being yoked together with somebody that's rolling differently than you are. You've got to be really, really careful about that. And so I gave this warning, this, you know, and the person said, no, you know, I've just been lonely and I believe God wants me to be happy and blah, blah, blah. And so they got married, you know. And then about 10 years later, I ran into the person, and the person walked up to me and said, there's not been one day of my entire marriage that I have not been thinking about the conversation that we had. Amen. Because of how difficult it has been. Amen. You understand? But what happened is when you're heading, when you've had enough, and you're just heading in a direction, right? Very often it's inertia, right? It's tough to stop that direction that you're heading in. And so sometimes people feel like they've gone so far down a path that they can't turn around, and it's not true. Amen. You can turn around. You can just, here's how you do it. You're going one way and you just, you know, I'm gonna go the other way. Amen. That's the Old Testament repentance. David said, I thought about my ways. I made haste and ran the other way. Okay, that's just all it is. So sometimes we feel those pressures, oh, I'm committed and all the rest, but we can get ourselves in these situations. Have you ever been, I know I'm not the only one, sitting in a car dealership and, you know, and you're about to sign the papers and you're gonna do something really foolish. You know, you're going to buy some vehicle that you know that you can't afford, and you're going to finance it over, what are they? They go 7-8 years now. It's insane, you know. And you're starting to feel this pressure coming on you, like, I shouldn't do this. And you got all these people that are in the room, the salespeople, they're all smiling at you. Hey, do you need a water? You know, they're being all nice to you, you know. And I like your shirt. Yeah, you know. All of us, they like your teams, they become your best friends, all the rest, and you're sitting there, and there's this voice, this voice that's coming to you that says, I should not do this, but then there's this other voice that feels like, well, I've already gone this far, I'm already committed, I should just probably go ahead and do it. You understand? I remember I worked with this teacher one time, and he had a big, beautiful truck, you know, and I was driving my 1991 Pathfinder that had 254,000 miles on it, but it had been paid for a very long time. And so I drove up one morning next to the truck, and I was admiring the truck, and I thought, oh, man, it'd be nice to have a truck like that. So he got out, and I got out, and I said, man, I really like your truck. And he goes, I hate that thing. And I said, why? It's beautiful. He goes, it's $600 a month. And I'm like, so you drive to work one whole week of the month to do nothing but pay for the vehicle that gets you here. I'm like, no wonder you hate that truck. And then I looked at my Pathfinder. I was like, bless you, old faithful. Oh, the leaky oil and all. Change of perspective. Amen. You understand? So listen, the Lord will send Abigail. He'll use people, but he also watches, uses the Holy Spirit. Okay, Abigail is a humble type of how the Holy Spirit operates, New Testament. Stay with me, I'm almost done. Because when there's not a person, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit will give you what's called a check. Amen. When you're about to go down a direction that you shouldn't go down. You know, I've heard people tell me about the business deal that they're getting in with an unbeliever and how it's the greatest deal and they're going to make all this money, right? And you listen to them and you're just like, don't do it, you know, because they don't have the same values that you have. Amen. And eventually they will want you to compromise because they think like the world. And the way the world thinks is you cut corners and you lie and you cheat on taxes and you know, you do all kinds of things that now you've got yourself in a situation where you're like, you have a higher authority and you feel like you're sinning against your soul, you're sinning against God, and you can't do that. And so now you've got this, you know, thing. And very often the experience I've had is the greatest relief that people experience is the day that they get out of that partnership, amen, that the thing is finally over and that they're no longer yoked up in that situation. Amen? Amen. So the Holy Spirit will check us on money, on purchases, on relationships, on business, or on anything, watch this, that we need discipline in. Do you know, David probably didn't know this was in him until Abigail was like, stop. You know, and if it had been like some big, huge guy that came out or something and tried, David would have just cut him down. You know what I mean? Let him die first. But he, what he said, this beautiful woman with this understanding heart who comes to him and bows down all gentle. You know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman.
Amen.
You know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And he loves us and he tries to lead us. What does the Bible say? New Testament, the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Capital S. Talking about the Holy Spirit. So New Testament, we're led by the Spirit of God, right? So, you know, what happens is we get ourselves so frantic and busy and all the rest that we can't hear. And so, you know what we do? We ask 17 other people. And usually people that will tell us what we want to hear. But the Holy Spirit, if you stop and listen, if you inquire of the Lord, remember David, so many times he did it right, there, he would not react. Ziklag was an unbelievably pressurized situation, and instead of just reacting, he still inquired of the Lord. But this particular time, he did not. So God, in his mercy, sent a type of the Holy Spirit to say, stop.
Amen.
This is not who I'm making you. This is not who you are. I'm calling you to walk a different path. You understand? You with me? Come on, make it personal. There's stuff in our lives right now where it's like, man, our flesh is raging and the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you, stop. You've got to stop. You know, I've not forgotten that you're anointed and what I'm calling you to be, but you're going to have to trust me even in this situation that I'm going to deal with it differently. And you know what happened if you study the end of the story? God saved all the other people but Judge Nabal. Because when the wife came back in the morning after he was all sobered up because he drank all night, when he was all sobered up, she said to him, she goes, I want you to know what happened yesterday is David was coming here with 400 guys to kill you and everybody in the house. And she found out about the story, and it said he became like a stone. He might have had a stroke or something, and 10 days later he died. God ended up judging the guy, saved all the rest of the people, and Abigail, the beautiful woman, ends up being David's wife, you know, which is kind of poetic justice, praise God. You understand? Married is a picture of the Holy Spirit, you understand? Because she comes gently in her humility. But listen, you guys got to get a visual. Sometimes you got to get a visual. You got to get a visual of that you are in the flesh and the Holy Spirit is saying, please stop.
Amen.
You've got to stop. This is not where I'm leading you.
Amen.
Number three, we're personally responsible for our own decisions. It's up to David or not whether he heeded her advice. Verse 35 says, so David received from her hand what she brought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Do you know what that means? It's possible. Everybody look at me. It's possible when you're freaking out to calm down.
Amen.
These things are written down for us.
For sure.
You know, and he was wrongly treated. Sometimes you're wrongly treated. It's not a fallacy in your mind. You've been mistreated at times.
Amen.
And this thing might be so real in your life, and yet the Holy Spirit is saying, I understand, but we're going to do it a different way.
Amen.
You need to let me have some room here. And so in the midst of this whole thing, all of a sudden David is able to, you know, and then he's got to, you know, this is kind of a funny thing. He's got to turn around to these 400 guys with the swords and be like, hey guys, false alarm. We're going to let that fool live. Back to the camp. See, but at the end of the day, you have to understand, you're personally responsible to make your own decisions. Nobody can make them for you. You are responsible. David was, and so are you. I heard a song, I'm going to close with this week, an old Simon and Garfunkel song. You remember those guys? Garfunkel had the cool hair. Paul Simon had the talent. So... you ever heard that old song called The Boxer?
Yes.
I am just a poor boy, though my story's seldom told. I have squandered my resistance For a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. Listen, all lies and jest, still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. And that verse jumped out at me. God doesn't use Simon and Garfunkel. He is a donkey. I know he uses Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's the names. Listen to what he said. So somebody came into this young boxer and filled her head with, we're going to make all this money, we're going to do all this stuff. And he said it was all lies and jest. Still, a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. So I went, you know, and it jumped out at me, and this story is like the Lord was speaking to me from multiple places, saying, you have to be careful how you hear. Wow. See, because David had an opportunity where he could have just said, get out of my way, woman. I don't need a woman coming out here to stop me. I'm anointed. You know how anointed I am? Prophet Samuel anointed me when I was just a kid. I killed Goliath. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. Move out of the way, woman. And a man hears what he wants to hear, and that's how we get ourselves in trouble, because the Holy Spirit's trying to convict us. God's trying to send people. The Holy Spirit's saying, stop. I love you. Slow down. This isn't the way. But we hear what we want to hear. Come on, you with me?
Amen.
Listen, you know what? If you're like me, you get a word like this, and I'm like, oh, God. You know, you got to help me. Because you're speaking to me, and he's speaking to us. Isn't that great? You come to church, you hope God speaks to you. It should help you where you are. I mean, there are multiple situations going on in people's hearts and all the rest. And you have to understand something. Listen to me now, okay? Listen to me. If you do not regard the voice of the Holy Spirit when he tries to slow you down in the direction that you're going, it will affect your legacy.
Amen.
Because that was, she began to prophesy. Spirit of God came on her and she prophesied, it is coming. You're going to be the king. And when you're the king, do you really want this to be part of your history, that you killed a bunch of innocent people in a rage because some fool wouldn't give you some food when you wanted it? Amen. You know, when you spell it out, like when you look at it, sometimes like when you break it down, you're like, wow, you know, I was acting very foolishly myself. Amen. But you don't realize it in the moment because your emotions take over. And you feel something so strong. You know, there's a book called Emotional IQ, and one of the things they've studied, when your heart rate gets so rapid that you actually, parts of your brain get shut off and you can't operate based on understanding or wisdom because you're too emotionally charged.
Wow.
Isn't that just, I know none of you have ever struggled with that. All right, so here's the bottom line. You know, they did not come and talk to Nabal. The servant went to the wife. Why? Because Nabal was a hothead and he wouldn't listen to anybody. And so she comes and talks to David, and David receives her instructions. So it's very simple. Do you want to be Nabal, considered a fool who nobody can talk to or correct, or, you know, the Holy Spirit can't get your attention? Or do you want to be David, that in the midst of your absolute emotion and freaking out and all the pain that is legit? You need to understand this. David's pain was legit. He was mistreated. Can we agree on that? Okay, there, those of you here, the pain is legit. The mistreatment is real. Okay, but it does not give you an excuse to continue to go the direction the Holy Spirit is telling you to stop.
Amen.
Be like David. And the word of the day recently has been, let it marinate. Let it marinate, which is music to an Italian's ears. Somebody told me yesterday, was it Rhonda? Rhonda, were you telling me that? Who was telling me? Somebody told me, or no, it was Selena's mom. Selena's mom. She was saying to me, there's an Old Testament, the Italian book in the Old Testament, Malachi. Yeah, she goes, you ever read Malachi? Malachi?
Yep.
All right, bad joke. Okay. All right. Sometimes you get to put yourself in a prison and not make any decisions until you hear from the Lord. So you're inquiring, you know, you're thinking about moving, you're thinking about jobs, you're thinking, you know, whatever. Okay, or you're thinking about marriage, you're thinking about business, you know, and, you know, come on, let's be honest. The Holy Spirit starts to check us. We'll just start to like feel like I just don't have peace. I just don't, you know, there's just something that's not sitting right with me, you know, and it's just, and if we continue to go that way, we pay the price. God's whole plan here in this story is so that we would avoid that price. I know you're upset, but listen, I'm still involved. I haven't forgotten you. Listen to me. I'm still involved. I haven't forgotten you. That's the word of the Lord. I'm still with you. You know, I'm faithful to finish what I started. You got to trust me to complete this work in you. We're doing something together. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Hey, come play keys for a moment, please. I feel like, let me help you up with those shoes there. Yeah. I don't understand. That's got to be so hard to manage that. There's so many times I think, thank God I'm a man. Most of the time it's at a ball game when 800 people want to use the bathroom at the same time. And the men are in and out and the women are lined up around the corner. And I'm like, thank you that I'm a man. And then there was when my wife was ripping my arm out of my socket during childbirth. And I thought, thank God I'm a man. And the fact that I don't have to wear those beautiful shoes is like, thank God I'm a man, because that looks difficult. Hey, guys, let's stand to our feet here for a second, okay? Dave, can you come get this? We got 2 minutes here. I'm going to let you go. Guys, I got to do something here. Listen, if you know that God's spoken to you and, you know, and you're like, hey, Holy Spirit, I hear you and, you know, I want this grace, I just want you to come out of your seat and just come down here. I'm not going to embarrass you or pray for you individually, but I just want to pray a prayer over you publicly. So if you know, like, hey, God's spoken to me, this word's for me. I know he has. Yeah, this is the comfort that you needed. This is the word that you needed right now. The Lord gave it to you from heaven. Tell him I said hello. Yeah, come on out. See, do you see that? Tell me this is not the word of God. You know, there's so many people. This is, and I'm up here with you guys. I'm so up here right with you guys. And I want you guys to know that. Hey, come on up. Hey, come on close. Brian, Pastor Brian, help us get everybody. There's a whole bunch of people that still want to come up. Press right in, guys. Everybody showered. Actually, I didn't shower, but I showered last night. So yeah, everybody press right in. There's so many people. You know, isn't God so good? He's so good. He wants to stop us. David would have embarrassed himself, his reputation, his lineage forever. You know what? I believe that the Lord tried to stop him with Bathsheba too, but he ignored that time.
Amen.
You know, he was really in the flesh that time. But in this particular time, he heeded in the midst of the battle what God was saying to him. And you know what it produced in him? It produced a new day. It was a new day. A new day was coming. It was all good. Nothing was off the table. It's just a new day. It's a new day. And it's a new day for us, all of us here. Let's just lift our hands up and pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, that you love us, that you care for us. Despite the fact that people fail us, despite the fact that we're mistreated, despite the fact that there's so many emotions that we, a whole gauntlet of emotions that we go through, God, that we don't even fully understand and are so difficult for us to process, you are faithful, Lord God, to send, Lord God, the voice of reason in the midst of us possibly making mistakes, God. And Lord, your church at Citrus Springs, this church, Harvest Church, these people here, Lord God, they have responded, Lord God, to your voice in the way that David did. They've said, God, I heard you. I see what you're saying. And I just submit myself, Lord God, to the direction that you want to go in. And Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that the peace, Lord God, that surpasses understanding, come right back on them right now. The peace of the Lord through the Holy Spirit to come on them right now. I just pray the comforting Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate, the one who leads us, the one who's faithful, who loves us, who brings love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Lord God, I pray for the gentle covering of the Holy Spirit to fall on your children who said, I hear your voice and I receive the work of your Holy Spirit on me and in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, the Lord is so pleased. You know what? God's so pleased, man. God's all good. It's a good day. Praise God. I love you guys so much and so happy for all of us that the Lord has spoken this way to us. It is recorded. Would you go back and listen to it again when you need to? God bless you all. You have a wonderful day. If anybody needs personal prayer, you just stay up here. I have an altar team that will pray with you. God bless you. Enjoy yourselves. Go out, get some breakfast. Get some Italian sausage.